Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat is daf Nun Daled, and we are holding right at the top of the daf. We were in the middle of the list of the various ways in which it's mutter for an animal to go out, whether it's dressed or restricted, restrained in some way. And the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was Harichelim Yotzot Kivulot, which is not clear what exactly we mean, although we did refer to it briefly before. So what are Kivulot? Kivulot means basically, Kavul as we would use it in modern Hebrew would be to be locked in handcuffs. So it means Shemechablim al Yashilem Lamata. It means that we tie down their fat tail, which goes over their genitals, Kidei Shelo Yalu Alayam HaZicharim, in order to prevent them from being impregnated by the males. My mashma, Dai Kavul Ishna Delo Avid Pireu. And what makes us use this unusual language, which would imply that the word kavul has something to do with preventing reproduction, something that doesn't actually bring out fruit, so it's infertile, because we find that when Shlomo HaMelech gave the cities to Hiram after the building of the Beit HaMikdash, Hiram is quite upset with them, and he says, what kind of crazy cities are these that you gave me, my brother? And it's kavul. He calls them the land of Kavul, which implies that it's something that is useless. And what would be the meaning? What would be the meaning of Eretz Kavul on Rav Huna? Well, Rav Huna suggested that maybe it was because Ayu B'nei Adam Shemechu Balim, there were people who were tied around with riches, because he doesn't want to explain that Shlomo HaMelech gave him useless land. Ormali Rava, says Rava, I understand. If it's a place that is so rich, if it means Yochi, why does it say lo yashru beinav? That he looked at it as being a bad kind of thing. And the lo yashru beinav, which is certainly makes it clear that his comment was not a comment of wow, it was a comment of blech. Says Rav Huna, yes, exactly. You know, you're saying the thing shekvulim bekesef was av lo yashru beinav. Says Rav Huna, that's exactly why. Because what good is an entitlement-oriented, rich new territory, which is the last thing the king needs, became a bunch of spoiled people, used to their riches. Malchus isn't going to get anything out of them. No, it means indeed, as the Argomar says here, Eretz Chumtanaita, it was a ground that was just full of holes and worn-out ground, salty and useless. And the reason he called it Kavul is the Mishtarga Ba'ara at Kavla. It means that when you'd walk on it, you could just fall basically into your ankles. It was just so blechy. And the reason that it was referred to in that way is, as the popular saying goes, Amra Yinche, Ara Mechabla, the law of it appears, the kind of ground where you fall into ruts and it never ever makes any payroll. So that would be the meaning of this chant. The other chant is Kivunot. The other thing that the Rechelot Yotzot are Kivunot. Kivunot is my Kivunot. What is the meaning of Kivunot? Kivunot is shemechabnim oto lemilat. It means that we wrap them around in a soft blanket, and that prevents the wool from ever being exposed to filth and to the elements, and that way, when we do actually shear that wool, it's completely clean as it was when it was born. And that is used for very, very expensive clothing made out of soft wool, kedetzan, se'et of the negoyim, which has to be very, very white. The shear is ketzemer lavan. And what do we mean by tzemer lavan? Omer Abibi Barabaya, ketzemer naki ben yomo, shemechavnim oto lemilat. It means like very clean wool the day it was born, which is wrapped in blankets to be used for this special material. The next thing we learned was ha'izim yotzot sirurot, Reb Yossi asers, all of the above. Reb Yehuda says it depends. If their tzurot means their breasts are wrapped, the udders are wrapped tight, the yabesh to get them to stop producing milk so that they'll get pregnant, and not if you're wrapping them in order for them to continue nursing, because then you're careful not to wrap them tight, then it can fall off, and then you may carry it out by the special surah. Itma, Rav Amar Loch Rav Yehuda, that you can be miyabesh, but not for milk. Shmuel says, Aloch Rav Yossi, that all of it is aser. Actually, some don't even have this machlok, because Rav Shmuel referring to the above-mentioned psakim of Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, but rather, they were matin la shmaitta b'fnei atzmo, that they wasn't referring to the tanoim, they passed in halacha on their own, where Rav amar liyavesh mutar v'lo lechalev, Shmuel amar echad zev yachad zev osur. Then there's a third approach, which is ikan matin la aha, this psak of Shmuel, of izim tzurod, is referring to a bright that goes like this, izim yotzot tzurod b'yabesh v'lo lechalev, mishum Rav Yudim b'teira amru. So here the Tanakhama says that you can go out for yibush. Rav Yudim b'teira was quoted as saying that may be true in terms of the strict halacha, kach halacha, Aval mimefis, who exactly is going to know which ones are going out liabesh, which ones are going out lechalev? It's certainly not something that you immediately see without actually putting your hand there and seeing how tight it is. Yitov she'im makirin, and since it's not really noticeable, and the people in the end are going to be yotzei tzuras for yibush, they'll say it's lechalev, and in the end they'll be matur everything. So therefore, in terms of the practical psak halacha, we're going to have to go to agree that echad zeh ve'echad zeh is asur. And in this version, Amar Shmuel, or some say it was Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel, that halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that asur is both, which is similar to the psak we had before, like Rabbi Yossi, or like the second psak, echad zeh ve'asur. Kiyot Ravin Amar, when Ravin arrived, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that the halacha is like the Tanakama, Rashi was like the Tanakama of the Mishnah, not like the Tanakama of the Braita, who was matir everything, whether it's liavesh or lechalev. Not everybody agrees with that pshat. The Rashba brings that it's a reference back to the Tanakhama of the Bright. And so, as a fill-in, I will introduce the next Mishnah. Zakere leka Mishnah. Ubama inayotza. What does an animal not go out with? Yolo yitze gamal b'mitul telet. A camel cannot go out wearing a blanket. Now, a mitul telet is similar to a mardat, which is the main approach that Rashi likes. Another approach would mean a band of material that goes beneath its tail. And we're going to see that actually later, it's not just understood as a band, it's understood really as a little pillow that prevents the actual band from making a wound by rubbing against its soft undertail area. So it should not go out with a mitul telet, and should not go out akod, which is we're going to explain, and not go out ragul, which we're going to explain. And this, in fact, would be true of all other animals. And there's a question whether it's going on all the way back to the Isser of Mitul Telet, or whether it's going only on the Akud V'Ragul, which is what some of the Rishonim suggest. And we're going to see that Akud V'Ragul are ways of restraining the animal to prevent it from wandering. Do not tie camels one after the other, and then walk with the first one so that the others follow you. And we're going to see why, but obviously it seems to have a commercial look to it. But you can take, say, the ropes of a number of camels and pull them all at the same time. Into your hands, but you have to be careful. You've got to be careful not to wrap those chavalim around your hand. Now, that is very strange. And interestingly enough, we're going to see that the problem is a problem of kelayim, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, we learned in a braita that lo yetzeh agamal b'mitul telet hakshura lo biznavo. This now expands on the mission. Initially said that you shouldn't go out b'mitul telet at all. Here it says, not with the mitul telet hakshura lo biznavo. Aval yetzeh b'mitul telet hakshura biznavo b'chotarto. But if the mitul telet is tied on both sides, so it's tied around its hump, and it's tied on the bottom, biznavo, then it's not going to fall off, and then we don't have any chashash. Omer Rabba Baruch, lo yetzeh hagamal b'mitul telet hakshura lo b'shiliyata. If it's a blanket that is attached to a not completely emerged placenta after birth, there's no way that the camel is going to detach that because it hurts to pull. And because of that, the camel is going to be careful to make sure that nothing touches that and hurts it. Now, we also learned lo yakud v'lo ragul, and we definitely saw that that referred to all animals. And what exactly that meant wasn't clear. Now, obviously, akod has to do with the akedah. So Amar Rav Yehuda, that indeed the word akud means akidat yad v'regel. You tie one yad and one regel, one to another. Ki Yitzchak ben Avraham, and that's the lashon of akidah. Now, the truth is that Yitzchak ben Avraham, the akidah was both yad v'raglav, but that was not the main point here. The main point is that it's a reference to hand and foot. And this way, if you tie the hand and foot, obviously the camel's not going to wander very far. What does ragul mean? It means not to take one of its legs, bend it at the joint, and tie the bottom of the leg to the top so that it's basically left with three legs to walk on. Doesn't it say in the writer, akud means either the shtei yadayim, one to another, or the shtei raglayim, one to another? Uh-oh, that's very much not like what Rabbi Yehuda just said. And ragul indeed means shelo yakuf yado agave zro over yikshor. Yes, that part means not, as he said, not to tie the bottom part of the leg up along the foreleg. Well, Rabbi Yehuda actually was going like the following Tana. This Tana in the Braita says the Tanya code means akidat yad v'regel. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the problem is, of course, that the Tana adds something that Rabbi Yehuda clearly didn't agree, in which he says, or it might mean the two hands together, or it might mean the two feet together. A ragul means shelo yakuf yado agave zro over yikshor. But Wait a minute. Akati Ladami, I'm sorry, but that psak does not follow Rav Yehuda. It's still going to be a problem with Rav Yehuda. Because, okay, the first part, yes. The last part, yes. But the middle part, no. The middle part says Akod may mean the two hands or the two foot, which Rav Yehuda did not agree was the meaning of Akod. To Bishlam HaReish V'Seif HaNeicha, fine. I accept that, but Mitziata is still Kasha on Rav Yehuda. You're right. Hudiyam Aki Haitan. And there's a third Mandiyama that he holds like. And this is the following Braita, in which only Rabbi Yudashita is mentioned, which is Akod, Zakedat Yad Varego, Kitzhak Ben Avraham, and Ragu Shelo Yakuf Yado Agab Yisrael V'Yikshar, exactly as Rabbi Yudah put it in the first place. V'lo Yikshar Gimalim, and you can't carry Gimalim, you can't now have a line of Gimalim that you're taking to the Shuk, my time, V'amir Avashim Shuk, Demir Zekeman Da Ozer L'Chinga, because it looks like you're going to market. From here, Chinga is a cute way of talking about a market. What a chinga really means is a dance, which is done in a circle, like around the area, talking about a chinga, right?
Using the Hebrew slang today, like a party.
A party, yeah. A nasty party. Party party. Why do we call it a shuk, a chinga? So Rashi says, well, that's what it is, isn't it? Basically, you've got people walking round and round, going all around the tables. So it looks like one big chinga. So we call it shuk, a chinga. Surprisingly, this Gemara becomes the marker of a great deal of halachic discussion as to whether one can use riches with the chicken.
Yes, sir. Riches with the fabric with chicken.
Correct. The Gemara says you can't use riches with meat unless you enclose the label to make it clear that you're not having basar b'chol. But the shaila is, if anyway it's chicken, so it's only drabanan, is there a gezera of marit ayin on a drabanan? From this Gemara, which says it's Xer, they'll be going to Chinga. And if they go to Chinga on Shabbos, what is so terrible about that? It's Xer, they're all not to go to Chinga. So it must be that there's called a Marit Ayin, even on a Rabbana, which means if you're going to use riches for chicken, you'll have to include a label. You never know where the Gemara comes up.
You can't go to the mall or something.
Just as long as you don't tie it to all four legs.
Okay. Wouldn't use
margarine to be used with
margarine.
The
there wasn't nafutz yet.
The shari shuv and puts peanut on Shabbos means down there. Yaakov ended said not to walk past the stores that are open on Shabbos.
Can't believe
what
I'm saying.
What?
That's true. We're going to interview the heirs of the store.
Abu Machnis, Omer Avashi. Now, what is this last piece? You can put a lot of different chavalim betoch yado and pull the animals. And as I mentioned to you, it's very strange because there are many who paskins. You can't do that on Shabbos. What is it talking about? Omer Avashi lo shodam el le'in kilayim. The issue over here is shelo yichroch. All of this is a problem of kilayim. Forget about Shabbos. Kilayim. Kilayim demai. What kind of kilayim are we talking about over here? Is it that a human should not be working together with an animal because it's working with multi-species? In which case it's kilayim. Of course, the problem is, it just points out, what working? Who's working? Well, we're talking about Shabbos over here. So in one possibility, says maybe the whole last part of the Mishnah wouldn't be referring to Shabbos. In which legabe kilayim and not legabe, we're not talking about on Shabbos. If that's the case, then that explains the Torah. He understands the last part of the Mishnah isn't saying that you can have a lot of different camels and carry them with the chevel in your hand. You can only do one. If you carry more than one, it looks like you're going to market. What's up? You're going around. What are you spaziering down Main Street with your camels? Hell, am I? You're going to. Okay, so what's the difference how you carry them? So why does the Mishnah say you can? It means agave kilayim it's talking about. So maybe there's a burden on the back of these animals if it's talking about the chol. So what does it mean that a human can't work together with another animal? Vatzana adam mutar in kulam. Says Beferish in the Mishnah, a human is not considered to be kilayim with any animal. So you could do harisha, you could do mishicha of a wagon, and that's mutter. So it can't be referred to kilayim as the human kilayim. Ela kilayim means the chavalim. What are you referring to? And in case one of the ropes is made out of, let's say, tzemer, the other one is made out of pishtim, so then you can't wrap the ropes around your hand because it's kilayim. That's not true either. What's wrong with wrapping ropes around your hand when they weren't made together? It's not one baguette. And even if they're loosely connected, that's chibur ach, that's like one loop. That's not considered to be kalayim either. So then What type of kelayim was Ravash referring to? Le'olam kelayim de chavalim. Rovi kamar. Ravash lo yichroch v'yichshor. Means, let's take for granted, shlo yichroch, meaning it tied all things together, which then would be the double tkifah, and then it would indeed be kelayim on your hand. And here there's a big machlokit, but that means dafka. It's fascinating, fascinating sugya. Because does this mean that even though it's a davar she'eino mitkaven, you're certainly not carrying it in order to be menet from the chavalim, it's a davar she'eino mitkaven. The Mishnah is now saying, stam alib Rabbi Yehuda. That's strange, because later on, before we have Mishnah that is stam Rabbi Shimon. And davar she'eino mitkaven is mutter. Here it's saying davar she'eino mitkaven is awesome. But vachalo yichroch. Is it a psikration? Well, you can't help but be mitchamim. If that's the case, it touches on a very serious issue, which is, there are some shitas who say, amazing idea, that there is no such thing as a psikration by the line.
We had it one.
No, that was the agape, the carrying of it, but over there it wasn't.
By Kalein.
You're thinking of. But in any event, it doesn't say over there a psikration. So the shayla is, there's bevachalei skavim, bechamim. But what's the reasoning behind it? Because since the Torah says lo tilbash kelayim, what's the pshat derech levisha? That it doesn't matter if it's a psikration. The idea is that it has to be that what you're doing is for that purpose. Now that, of course, opens up a whole can of worms about what does a psikration mean like every Shabbos, because Shabbos also needs to be melechus mashemes. Okay, but just to let you know, so then there's a problem over here. If you never know, as I say, you never know, you see. So if indeed you try to make this work out, Aliba to Rabbi Shimon by saying it's a psikration, you may have to adjust your definitions of psikration across the board just because of this little word, the Bavachalaya grow. Maddening. You never know where the world is about to crumble on. Fine. Omar Shmuel, who Bavachalaya say a chevo mitakat yadot tepa. There's another problem over here. Because you're walking along the street, you may be 5 meters in front of the animal. The animal's behind you. You've got a string, a cable hanging out of your hand. You walk down the street, carrying on Shabbos. Everybody sees you carrying on Shabbos. Therefore, say Shmuel, make sure. Why are they going to be machab of the animal to what you're carrying? They see a rope hanging out of your hand. So therefore, it should not be noticeable that you're carrying the rope. It's interesting that by Shmuel arranged braithot, which is called Tana Debei Shmuel. We know we have collections of braithot from Rakia, from Rabosha, but there was a collection of braithot in the Beit HaMidrash of Shmuel. And in one of those braithot, it said Tefachayim. So if Shmuel himself had arranged that braithot, why did he say Tefach? I'll tell you. If Shmuel said a Tefach, and in the Tana Debei Shmuel it says Tefachayim, then you should know that Shmuel halakha l'maaseh ha'tavashmina. Shmuel often does this. That when it comes to practical application, in order to avoid error, he errs on the side of the Chumrah. So I said, okay, so make it a Tefach. Even though me'ikar hadin, it would be really Tefachayim. This is no gea halakha l'maaseh, according to some. That you're not supposed to be mocha in someone who, in fact, has less than Tefachayim, that's one Tefach. Because since me'ikar hadin, the halakha is one word, halakha l'maaseh does not mean that you're mocha on someone who's doing gea halakha. The Brayta said Tefachayim.
That's
the next issue. But Tanya, your issue is about to be raised. Doesn't the Brayta say that no, the shear is that it shouldn't be lifted above the ground more than a tefach? Yes. What? It has to be more than a tefach. That's talking about Kitani Bakabo the Beni Beni. There's two pieces here. Shmuel was talking about the part that's hanging out of your hand that's not going to the animal.
The end of the rope.
And this is saying that you also want it to be very clear that it's above the ground so that people can see that it's connected to the animal, it looks like you're stomp carrying a piece of rope. That's a different issue. Over there, of course, the more exposed it is, the better. You're on again, dear brethren. You didn't know what you were getting into tonight. No, she would have come here for this. Now this means, of course, as we saw earlier, the Erev Shabbat. And velo bezug, it cannot walk out with a bell around its neck, even though it's not making ringing noises to draw attention to the ice cream that you're selling. Velo besulam shebet zavaro, and nor can an animal go out wearing a ladder around its neck, which we'll see is only a figure of speech.
And what it really means is a wood that looks like a small ladder to prevent it from rubbing an irritating scab on its neck, which keeps damaging itself. This is something like the little gloves you put on infants when they're born. You know?
Or the dog.
Hello. We'll see what the point is in that. They would tie colored threads to tarnagolim to just mark the owner. They would limit the movement of their feet so they wouldn't cause damage when they hopped about. Nor should the males that have the long fat tails go out wearing a little device with wheels that protects the alya. We've got a lot of love, and then we've got a lot of chaminas, and so on. Ve'ina ego yotzei begimon, see what that is. Ve'lo b'ora b'ora kupar, or suddenly ora kipod, see what that's for, to protect the other. Ve'lo b'ritzua sheben karnea, nor can it wear a decorative ribbon between its horns, even if it is going out to the Maryland State Fair. Now, parato sh'Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, ha'ita yotzei b'ritzua sheben karnea, sh'lo b'ritzon chachamim. Can you imagine? What a horrible thing to say. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was the Nasi. His para was known to go out with a decorative ritzua, and nobody approved of it.
Is it on the walls of
Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's town. On the
what about the Seir Mishaleach?
That place in your neighborhood, I assume.
What about Seir Mishaleach?
What about the Seir Mishaleach? You can carry it on charge. My time, what's the reason? This is an amazing Gemara. The reason is, like we said earlier, the problem is we never said earlier, did we? We never gave a reason. It's not like we had three different shittas, if you remember, in Tosfos. Rashi was saying for some reason that if it's not true Shomer Shabbos, it's going to be a matzvah. That Rashi says now has to define itself as needing it. Tosfos says maybe if it wasn't there before Shabbos, it looks like you're loading up the Madad in order to be motzia. Rabbeinu Porat explains that it looks like you were planning on taking a long trip if you saddle up for Shabbos, whatever. Nor is this Kiryamara. And again, Kiryamara over here has got to be including the fact that there's the Nafkamina of Shabbos and Erev Shabbos. I'm not going to go through this whole thing again. Proving to you that it means Erev Shabbos. You know, we already like the list. Thank you. Can we continue? Velo bezug, apapishu pakuf, mishum demirzi kamandoza lechimga. Looks like you're on your way to the market. Velo besulam shubit savaro, what's that? Omravuna Belua, that is an extended wood ladder-like device around the jaw. Lamai Avid Lay like it maka, lahother chayekbe. It's done in order to prevent scratching against something. This way it can't get anything to scratch against, because that way it keeps hurting itself. Velogritsua Shabaraglo, the Avdile Ligizra. There's two different approaches to this. Samar Gizra means to pull together broken parasot. So that if there was a crack in the parasad, they would tie a ritzua around it, which would often come off. But that it was for medical purposes. Others learn that it's talking about a knock-kneed animal, and it keeps hitting itself with one of its legs. And so you would put a ritzua around that place to prevent damage. That people make for a simon, a colored chut, should be clear which chickens are theirs. The ritzua is put between the legs to prevent them from being able to hop high, because they have a tendency to hop up things and break them. We don't want the alya of the zecharim to get all broken and wounded against these stones that it walks over. Now what exactly is chanun? Clearly refers to some type of chain that we do for them. See, Yosef Akabar, look, I made it a few steps. The Yati become, I'll tell you what this means. Mishash goes zinotan. After you do the giza, now the animal is all traumatized, you know. So, tonim la azak b'shem, you take a cotton pad and you put oil on it. Umenichon al padakta, you put this now against the animal's forehead. Kedei shalol titztane. In order that it shouldn't get cooled, you know, this is a really traumatic moment. Omalei refchista, man, if you treat your sheep like that, you might as well call your sheep Marukva. You're treating him better than you treat the God of Lazaro. You might have to take a thing and put it in. It's amazing that there's a mindset in the Shuvas of the Ben Ishchai, in which there was a whole scandal in Baghdad, in which somebody had said to somebody else that, you know, you're treating your animal over here, but this is the Rav. So the Rav got all upset. The whole Kehillah wanted to put this guy in the midway because, yes, they sent the Shaila to the Ben Ishchai. So it was a fair Gemara. There's nothing to get upset about. Apparently, it's not insulting to say you treated an animal like the Rav. How am I?
The opposite is
the opposite. Yeah. So it's interesting. Even this Gemara had an application. So that was one. I don't believe you, but I mean that's overkill. Then we had Eliyazi Rapapa by Shmuel, commander of Fista. He was the Alpha. You know what it is? Sheep are very, very delicate, which they are. So Bishasha Korat lay, and the sheep's about to give birth. You take two pads, you fill it with oil. You put one pad on the forehead, one pad on the womb. Kadeshitit Chamei. So Nachman says, oh my God, can I see the Yalta? I mean, my own wife doesn't get treated like that. I mean, what are you going to treat all your sheep like this? El Amr Abuna Eitzachav Yesh Pekarche Ayam Chanun Shema. It's a certain type of wood. It's called Chanun. And it was sold for medicinal purposes. Mevin Kisim. You would bring a little splinter from this, and they would keep a piece of this wood in the noses of the Rechelim. It caused constant sneezing. It only gave off a pungent burning kind of thing. It would make them sneeze. The value of that was Yiplu Darnei Rosha, prevented parasites from entering the brain, crawling up the noses. And so, but then the Shailas, I mean, at least the other explanations explain why it was done to the females. You know, it had something to do with pregnancy, and they were delicate, but if it's talking about preventing worms, which, by the way, I always point out, it's a very unfortunate name for a restaurant to call itself Darna, because Darna means worm. But in any event, there is a restaurant in Yerushalayim, a Darna restaurant. I can't get near the place. In any event, so the Gemara asks, Yachi Zechorim Nami, so why don't we need to do it for the males? Oh, because the Zechorim, they're always butting their heads against each other. So that achieves the same thing. Yeah. You don't need to have them sneeze. Even a knock. Zechorim Ba'adani, even a male enough. Shimon Nazira says it's Kisma the Ritma, it's the Rota that's used for this. In any event, Bishon Ravuna, Ravuna says the name of the tree was a Chanun. So that explains why it says Chanunot. But according to the Rabbana, what is the language Chanunot? We're showing them a great deal of love and care, aren't we? And that's Chanina. So it's called Chanunot. Meina Egel Yotze Begimon. What does Gimon mean? My Egel Begimon. It's a Barnira. A Barnira is a small dimui of an ol, of a yoke. Obviously, an Egel doesn't wear a yoke. But we don't want an Egel to get used to being without a yoke, because that's an Egel Lolumad. We know what happens. Tov Lagever Shiisa Ol Binuburo. If not, it turns into an American. So therefore, what they would do is they would take an ol and put it on the ego when it was young. What are you looking at me so strange? Americans have no ol when they're young, so they're never able to be sovel any ol. The tov l'gevish, he's a ol benuro. Everything is done for you.
That's no rav.
So is an ego, no rav. So therefore, they would put it on. But what's the language of gimon mean? Gino, how do we know my mic like Gimo Mishad Mitkaf? It means to make your head go down. It says Halakovka Agmon Rosho. What an Agmon really is official. So basically, as we read on Yom Kippur, on his work, you think this is what I want? I want your head hanging like the old fish hook look you give me. The old fish, that's what a tinus is supposed to be, the fish hook look. That's what I like. I prefer some action rather than fish hooks. But in any event, that's the language Lavi uses. So we talk about a O that causes you to bend your head. As a gimon. Amazing, huh? Come on, you guys. But I can't get it. It's not fascinating, all these language. I need a friend. V'lo para v'or hakipot. So what do they do that for? They avdi l'kech d'lovim tziyu ayali. They would put on some porcupine skin over the udder. Now that has a very salutary effect if any other animals are trying to nurse. Nothing like a little porcupine skin.
With
the needles to teach you a lesson. So Yali, according to Rashi, means a type of aluka, which Tosfos says is absurd. Leeches don't suck milk, they suck blood. Therefore, Tosfos says, this is very curious, Tosfos says, a Yali is actually a hedgehog.
Yeah, we had this
discussion as to whether a kippur was a...
No, no, that's a different question. Porcupines, hedgehogs, that's not the issue here. The Moshe Baruch isn't here, so we can't have fun again.
Yeah.
But it means that the hedgehogs would view this, so they sort of meet it, can I get meet it? Give it some porcupine skin and teach it a lesson. Velo b'retzua sheben karnea. Now, the truth is, we saw before, there's a machlokas, whether a retzua lishmor was mutter or not, remember? Because it was considered to be overkill. They could grab the par with it. So, okay, this is saying, I mean, according to Rav, the Mishnah means you can't go out with retzua, whether it's lenoy or whether the shamer is aser. According to Shmuel, then lenoy is aser, and shamer mutar, and that's what we'd have to be referring to. Paratosher of Elazar ben Azariah. What is that supposed to mean, paratosher of Elazar ben Azariah? That's crazy. Chod ha-pora ha-avim ha-gah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah had a cow. Oh, man. Do you know how many cows Rav Elazar ben Azariah had? Rav Arav, or sometimes it's reviewed, Rav Arav, Tresar alfei eglei ha-yamaiser Rav Elazar ben Azariah mi-adri koshata v'shata. 12,000 cows were his yearly miser. Now, a guy that's in mega agriculture doesn't have a cow with a ribbon. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, how's he going
to find it? What are we talking about? You know, you make it sound like it's some little, you know, Yorkshire farmer that's got his little cow in the backyard. I mean, this guy has got 20,000 people working on his cow. It's crazy. So how do you explain that? Ah, the Braita explains it. Actually, it wasn't his cow. It was the poor neighbor. So this poor neighbor had one little cow. So she would really treat the cow, you know, give it pigtails, pretty ribbons, and so on. So it's Shor Shechinatoika. So what's it, his fault? Mitoch Shalom Michava. Mikreit Al Shmo. Because he allowed that neighbor to get away with murder, it's called his cow for all eternity. Boy, this is a tough one. There's a lot of fascinating issues that go on over here. First of all, one interesting halachic issue is, couldn't this be the actual explanation? What did you ask? He had one cow? He had hundreds of thousands of cows. The answer is, yes, but he had one cow that went out with the Ritzua Ben Karneha because she was a problematic cow. So the Bedavka put it there in order to be shame on her because she was a Moredas. So therefore, some want to bring a Raya, since the Gemara doesn't say that, to the Psak and the Shulchan Aruch. Remember I mentioned to you the first day of this parak, we never did come out saying, what about the phenotype, right? They had a particular animal. What about my chamor that gets out of control? Am I allowed to do shmira? And she said, well, it doesn't matter because I'll have a chananya, but if you don't pass my chananya, what's the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch questions that indeed there's no problem. If you have a moredet, then you go according to the needs. So some bring a raya because this Gemara, the obvious answer to Gemara was, of course it didn't mean all his cows. It meant this particular cow because this particular cow was a problem. The only reason we're not saying that must be is because everybody is moda. Both Rav and Shmuel, that would be mutter. So therefore, why would it say Shalom Barotza Kachami? Must be that that's not an option. Therefore, we have to come on to the story of his neighbor. Okay, that's one interesting thing. The other interesting thing is the historical background of Phinehas' neighborhood. When exactly was the Kol Shata B'Shata of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's Meiser? When did he have an opportunity of Kol Shata B'Shata? Our assumption should be that he had to be bar mitzvah to take off Meiser Behema. So he needed to be at least 13 years old. But he was only 18 when he took over the Nisiyut, correct? Okay? So then that means that that's in Yavna. That means at the Kurban Abaye, he must have been 14 or 15 years old. Because we know that Rabbi Yoshua had been embarrassed, all in the muttering in the audience, it said, aha, and last year he did that, the year before he did that. So apparently Rabbi Gamliel already had been there for all of those years, right? Must have been at least 2 years. If he's only 18, that means he was the most 15 years old at the Churban. You're making it sound like, oh, yes, every year he gives 12,000 animals, what every year? So you'll say we gave 12,000 animals after the Churban, but we have a takana not to make Maaser Behema, because maybe people will treat it with Kedusha, they'll bring it outside by saying, Mikdash will be big shell in the morning, so on, says Kedusha. Nothing, so we're not Mafrish. So where are we taking 12,000 animals from? Then there's another problem. Rav Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. Why is a Kohen taking off Maaser Behema? Is a Kohen supposed to take off Maaser Behema? These are all fascinating issues. So the first problem... The first problem, Tosfos has a number of possible solutions. He suggests that maybe this means that it was being taken off by an apotropos for him before he was 13. That's problematic because many of the Parshim point out apotropos is not empowered to do anything that isn't necessary for the investment of his charge. So why in the world would he take off Maiser Ema? Others answer that he needed to make some investments in the stock market in order to sell the behemoths, but take off Maiser first. So he took off the mice in order to sell them. What's going to do? Keep the animals around for him? I mean, obviously, AT&T was more kedai at that point than keeping these animals. Right? Well, we don't want to talk about them. Okay, another possibility is, which is really difficult, is that what this is referring to doesn't mean Maiser, it means taxes. So what he would give to the Avodat HaMelech, the Arnona, his Arnona was this number of names. He must have had a heck of a lot of animals. All right. I mean, there's other approaches as well. As to the issue of his being a behem, of his being a coin, not being chayim, there's also a number of different questions. Because one of the other answers is that he didn't take off these animals to make them kodesh. He took them off and gave them to the coin. So not to deprive the guna. Problem is that almost everyone is mother that Maiser Behem isn't given to coin. It's kept by the baalim. So if it's kept by the baalim, then it's not a dinim matnas kahuna, in which case, even if you're a kohen, you would still take off Maiser Behem. It turns out that the two issues are interdependent. Anyway, just to, as they say, a heads up on some fascinating issues about Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. But this seems to be an awfully tough thing just because he wasn't Meichem. His poor neighbor who couldn't stop making pigtails in her cow, and this is like the guttle be Yisrael, the Nasi next door. I mean, this is what he's supposed to be taking care of right now. That's unbelievable, no? Well, actually, it's Rav and Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chaviva say, oh, by the way, just so that you should know, all through Seder Moed, whenever you have those four listed together, there is an alternative. If it says Rav, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, then there are some who take out Rabbi Yochanan and put in Rabbi Yonatan instead, because that was the Chabura doing Moed. So when you find these, even though they're all over Shas, they're always together. But in Moed, it should say Rabbi Yonatan, and not Rabbi Yochanan, according to some. Anyway, getting back to what they said, whoever it was who said it. That kol nish afshar limchot l'anshei beito v'lo micha. Just by the way, I can't resist this either. Just that you should see how seriously we need to take a word in the Gemara in terms of a mesorah, how to understand the Gemara. You could have read this Gemara as that Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chaviva learned that. As this was, it was repeated that the following thing. Not that we interrupt what it was that they said with Koki Haizuga Chalufe, right? What we are about to say was Masnu. Now the Gemara interrupts with a word from our sponsor. How do we know that that's the correct way to read? I mean, how do we know? It would be a little bit crazy. It would be like trying to delete a file while you're reading it, if you do it the other way. So, I mean, do we really need a raya? Tosfos brings that the Rabbeinu Shmuel said this over B'Shem Rashi, who was Mekabalit from Rebbe Eliezer, his Rav. This is the way to read the Gemara. It's amazing, the Hakpada on the detail. This is the correct reading. In any event, what did they say? That everybody can have a little bit of Ashpah possibly on somebody else. So call me Chef Shalim Chot Lanshe Beitov, Alomicha. If your family will pay attention to you, and you could tell them about how to act, and you don't, Nitvasa Lanshe Beitov, and you become now responsible on the Averot that are done by the people in your home. Lanshe Iro, if you could have impact on your city, Nitvasa Lanshe Iro. Bechol Olam Kulo, Nitvasa Kol Olam Kulo. If you're a Melech or a Nasi who has the ability to make sure that people are Shema the Torah, then it's your responsibility. And if your neighbor is not being careful about the pigtails in her pet cow, then that is your responsibility. Gets locked into a Mishnah forever. So everyone should know, a few things they can remember about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the color of his hair and the color of the pigtails of the cow. Sad. Omer of Papa, Vahani, the Reish Galus, and Nitzvah Zarkuli Alma. Let's just know who we're talking about. Those guys in the Reish Galusas that always make trouble. Not bad enough they don't take care of their own avodah, which they never do. The whole world is their responsibility. Ki adam rebi chanina, my rechiv, Hashem b'mishpat yavoim zikne amo b'sarav, vatem bi'artem akerem, zelata amiv vatechem, Whoa. Sarav, I understand the Sarim. I mean, yeah, these were problematic people. But im Sarim chat'u, why does it say Zikne Amo? Zikenim chat'u. What did it say? Zikenim refers to Sanhedrin. What did the Zikenim do? It's the Sarim who sinned. Ela Ema, al Zikenim shalom nichu b'Sarim. We make the Sanhedrin responsible for the activities of these Sarim. This is a fascinating sugya that we're beginning now, but I'll control myself and wait until tomorrow.
So maybe the neighbors would give him a break.
If any, it would have been that he tried.
Who loved my kolot mechablim al yeshalim lemato kedei shelo yalo aliyam azecharim. My mash would I kavul lishne de lo avit peri v'dechi ma'ari ma'elah shematat liyachim. V'yikra lahem eretz kavul ad ayom azeh. My eretz kavul, Amar Ravuna shayavah b'nei adam, shimuchubalim b'kesev v'zahav. Omnei Ravi, hapi haino dechtiv, lo yashru v'inav. V'nei shimuchubalim b'kesev v'zahav, lo yashru v'inav. Omnei, absolutely. Kiven de atiru mafante, lo avi avidetzah. V'nakum, v'yizrikam our eretz chumton haita. Amai karla kavul, the mishtar de bakara kabla, v'amri inche, aram mechabla, meaning the lati peri. In application to our Mishnah is that the Rechelim shouldn't be Abdi-Peri. Kvunot, my Kvunot Shebekab, Nimotam Lemilat Kiditnan, Seif, Ketzemer Lavan, my Tzemer Lavan, Omer Bibi Barabaye, Ketzemer Naki Ben Yomo, Shebekab Nimoto Lemilat. Ve'ayizim Yatzot Zurot Itmarab, Amar Alok Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Alok Rabbi Yossi, that it's also in any fashion. Ve'yigit Amagalash, my Tzababi Nafsh, Rab Amar, it's Mutter for Yibush, by Lola Chalab, Shmuel Amar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Asur, and actually, he could have been like, Yizib Yotzot Zerod L'Yavesh, but Lola Chalab, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Ben B'tei Ramlu, well, maybe Kach Halakha, but me may feast, Ezo L'Yavesh, Ezo L'Chalab, and me talk Shem HaKirim, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Asur, on my Shmuel, I'm on Rabbi Yehuda B'Shua, Lofik Rabbi Yehuda Ben B'tei Ramlu, Yat Ravin, on Rabbi Yochan, Lofik Ketane Kaman, ובמיינו יצא לו יצא גם מה במטוטלת לא עקוד ולא רגו וכן שם כל הבימות לא יקשור גבלים זה בזה וימשוך אבל מכניס חבלים לתוך ידו וימשוך ובלבד שלא יכרוך תנא לא יצא לו גם מה במטוטלת הקשורה לו בזנבו אבל יוצא במטוטלת הקשורה בזנבו בכותרתו אמר רבא בר אבונה יוצא גם מה במטוטלת הקשורה לו בשביל יתה לא עקוד ולא רגו לא אמר רבי ידע עקוד עקדת יד מרגע יצחק בן אברון רגו שלא יחוב יד על גבי זרוע ויקשור בעצם יחוד שתי ידיים ושתי רגליים רגו שלא יחוב ידו על גבי זרוע ויקשור וליום עקי הייתם ודתן יא עקוד עקדת יד ורגל או שתי ידיים ושתי רגליים רגו שלא יחוב ידו על גבי זרוע ויקשור נו עקדתי לא דומי בשלנו רשע וסייף עניך מציאתה קשה אז הוא ליום עקי הייתם הקוד עקידת יד ורגל יצחק בן אברהם רגו שלא יקוף ידו אגבי זרועו ויקשור לא יקשור גם על נימי קיים אמרו ושום דמחזיק המנדה הזה לחינגה אבל מכניס אמרו שלא שנו להיין כלאים כלאים דמי זה מכלאים בעוד המתן עוד המותור עם כולם אך ראש ולמשור אלא כלאים בחבלים ותניע תוקף תקיפה אחת אינו חיבור ויעוד לעם כלאים בחבלים אופי כאמה לבד שלא יכול ויקשור אומר שמוע, בבד שלא יצא חבר מתחת ידו טפח, אי ותנא דבי שמוע טפחיים. אומר הבאי, אשתי, אומר שמוע טפח, תנא דבי שמוע טפחיים. הפרט לשמוע הלוך על המעשה, אתה להשמיק, הנה. נתניה, ובבד שיגבים מן הקרקע טפח, אומר בעצמי פרי, אי בחב לו דביני ביני. אין חמור יוצא במרדעת בזמן שאינה קשורה לו ולא בזוג, אף על פי שהוא פקוק, ולא בסולם שבצבע לו ולא בצורה שברגלו. ואין את הרגלים יוצאים בחוטים ולא ברצועה שברגליהם ואין הזכורים יוצאים בעגלה שתחת העלייה שלהם ואין הרכבים יוצאו חנונות ואין העגל יוצא בגימון ולא פורבור הקופה ולא ברצועה שבין קרניה הורתו של רבי אלעזר בן עזריה הייתה יוצאת ברצועה שבין קרניה שלא ברצועות חכמים מה הייתה עם הקדיה מורה ולא בזו אגב בישהו פקוק בישהו בביך זה כמעט דעה זה הולכים גם ולא בסולם שבצבר ובאגדת סטלדת בין לואה למה יעד לי לה? לא יחדית לי מה קודלו לך הערבי.
That's the avim of the Gizra. That's the avim of Simona. That's the avim of Kekrol Gumani. And as a prime yetzim bagalak, Kekrol Machamten al Yalti. In our Kelvin Yatsot Hanunot, what's that? Yosef Rabba Baruch made a request of Yatsu Gamma Mishash, because it's Zinota, to Mimla, Zak, the Shemin, and the Nikila Padak, Tak, the Shrotik Stanin. Omalai Rapista, whew, you cannot see the Marufa. And the Yosef Rabba Baruch made a request of Yatsu Gamma, Mishash, Karat, and Lay, to Mimla Shnea Zakin Shal Shemin. ומניחים לאחד הפדקטר ואחד על הרכן כדי שתתחמם. אומרי רב נחמן, it's worse, אם כאילו נסית הילתה. אל אמר רבון העץ אחד יש בקרקע ים אחד ממשמו. מביאים כיסא ומניחים לה בפותמה כדי שתתעטש ויבלו דעני ראשה. זה יוקי זכור עם נעמי. זה זכור עם כיוון נעק, זה זכור עם בעדד עם מילה נחמן. שמעון נזיר אמר, כיס ודוריתמה, בשלב לבונה נתפני חנונו. But Rabbanu, what's a chanunot? Tadim lo milta drachman alayot. Ein ha'ego yotze begimon, my ego begimon. Amra v'ra bar nira. Amra v'loza my mashra gimun lishna demik. Avtiftim, halachov ke agmon rasho. V'lo poro v'yora kufar v'yavi l'kefet lo nitzri yali. V'lo v'ritzu ha shben karnea. Ila rab ben lanoi ben l'shamer asru. Ila shmo lanoi asru l'shamer mutar. Poro tosh v'loza ben azayah. Well, what's that mean b'chlam? Tan Sheiro, it's not Sheiro, the whole of the law.